Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret guide to health when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national consciousness. You know, this is a radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, your daughter now can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there is still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the benefits for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what the penalty to a law is to suffer from its effects. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing called the Secret Guide to Health, put out by a fellow by the name of Wayne Green. Just a common sense guide to good health. And I mentioned to you last time on the program, I said, you know, it calls for a lifestyle change. And that's what all of us are afraid of. Lifestyle change. I got to quit smoking. I got to give up Hershey bars. I got to quit drinking. I got to quit this and quit that and give up this and give up that. I don't subscribe to that. I don't think that you need to give up everything. And I think that you need to give up the excesses that go along with it. I know that I mentioned to you last time, see, I couldn't handle tobacco reasonably like Frank Rocha could. I think that the American Indians who taught us how to smoke, I don't think that those guys were out lighting up, you know, while they were on the job working. I remember old Frank Rocha, he never smoked a cigarette while he was working. It was when he was relaxing. It's when we were milking the cows. Well, Frank and I did the stripping, and Tony Nunes, you know, he was running the milking machines, and I was dumping milk and stripping, and Frank was stripping. And old Frank used to tell me, he says, you know, when I come in to milk the cows, it's the end of the day, work is over, I'm relaxing. He just relaxing when he was milking the cows. And so he'd smoke a cigarette. And so the same thing is true. Now, I like to I like to eat candy. And so I used to eat lots of candy. Well, if a little bit's good, a whole lot's got to be better. And then one day I woke up and I said, you know, candy's good, but, you know, too much sugar is debilitating. That especially the white sugars, the you know, the refined sugar. I mean, honey you can eat until you puke, but white sugar you don't puke. You just give yourself diabetes. So I decided, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue eating candy, but I'm going to eat it in a little more moderation. And I'm going to force myself. I'm going to train myself. I'm going to test and see if I can eat candy. Now, it might be that I have to give it up altogether, but I found out I don't have to quit eating candy altogether, but about once a month, 12 times a year, I'll buy a candy bar and eat it. So now you know. George Gordon eats 12 candy bars a year, about one a month. And the same thing with drinking. I just make it a point to have a beer. About once a month, I have a beer. Sometimes, if there's a bottle of wine, see, my wife will open a bottle of wine and cook with it. And so there'll be a little wine left, and I'll pour a glass of wine. About once a month, maybe. Instead of beer, maybe I'll drink wine. So here's what I do. Now, I don't smoke at all, but if I was going to smoke, if I thought I could handle it, which I don't think I can. Smoking to me is like credit cards. I couldn't handle credit cards on a bet. You put a credit card in my hand and God, I just go wild. So the only solution for me is that I can't have a credit card and I can't smoke. But I can eat one candy bar a month and I can drink one beer a month. You know, there's some things that I can handle, and those things that I can handle, I do. Those things that I can't handle, by God, I don't touch them. Now, if you got a drinking problem, you know, you better leave that booze alone. You better not drink at all. And I've run across quite a few people like that. So it's up to you. You got to decide for yourself, well, what can you handle and what can't you handle? Some things we can handle better than others. Well, Frank can smoke one cigarette. You know, by God, I couldn't. So, if you have full disclosure and you know what the other guy is doing to you, and you know that the Congress and the pharmaceutical industry, the American Medical Association, the National Institutes of Health, and the World Health Organization are working to milk you like a cash cow. That's their objective. Nothing personal. They're just milking you. You got AIDS? You're a cash cow. You got diabetes? You're a cash cow. You got cancer, you're a cash cow. Now, all of these diseases are curable. Well, I say curable. They're certainly manageable. Now, my wife has been on a cancer management routine for 30 years, and once in a while it flares up. She'll get a lump in her breast, you know, or something like that, and she takes barley green, and it goes down the next day. So food is a very important aspect of this thing of good health, food. And my God, there are people out there that have ideas about food. I mean, just no end of them. You got vegetarians, they got their view on food. You got meat eaters, they got their view on food. Well, let me give you my take. There's two paradigms here on planet Earth. And the two paradigms are the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and the 10 Commandments. And if there's a third paradigm out there, I don't know what it is. I haven't got a clue. I'm not saying there isn't one, but I don't know what it is. Now, I've tested both the Ten Commandments and the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. Health insurance is being pushed by Barack and Hillary. That's a paradigm that comes from the Ten Planks. Strict liability is a paradigm that comes from the Ten Commandments. I practice that strict liability paradigm. I don't have health insurance, car insurance, or homeowners insurance or fire insurance, and you know I don't participate in insurance at all. It works like a shot. I know it sounds crazy, but it just works like a shot. Puts an extra 7% of what I earn every year into my pocket. I go spend it on Hershey bars and Heineken beer and a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon once in a while. So I've tested it, and it worked well for me, and I think if you test it, I think it'll probably work just about as well for you. Now, I tested the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. I practiced all 10, day in and day out, and it didn't work for me. In fact, I can't point to any successes from anybody that's been practicing communism. It didn't work for the Russians, didn't work for the Chinese. It didn't work for Karl Marx. It didn't work for you. It didn't work for me. And I don't think it's going to work for you any better than it worked for the rest of us when we tried it. But, you know, if you need to go experiment with it, get after it. Now, my old dad told me one time, he said, you need to learn from other people's mistakes. And if you can do that, that's what real wisdom is about. You watch the other guy and you watch the outcome. If it's good, do it. And if it's bad, avoid it. He told me to come to him and ask him before I got into any harebrained schemes and that he would tell me how it came out when he tried it. My dad told me there wasn't anything that I could think of he hadn't already tested, already tried. I know you kids are sitting out there saying, oh no, I'm smarter than that, but I can tell you that right now, that there's not much that any of you people out there can think of that I haven't tried, haven't tested. I tested communism. Didn't work for me. Probably isn't going to work for you, but then I wouldn't tell you not to try it. I wouldn't tell you not to practice it. Now, I'm not going to do it anymore because I got such a bad result, and I get such a good result that comes from the Ten Commandments. Now, this guy, Green, he's not a religious guy at all. In fact, I think he's kind of anti-religious from the tone of his book, from the tone of his rhetoric. Whether he knows it or not, or whether he understands it or not, he's practicing the health laws of the Bible. There's 19 of them. One of those health laws in the Bible talks about clean and unclean meat. And if you're going to eat pig, you need health insurance. And I tell my students when they come in here, now, listen, kids, if you're going to eat pig, if you're going to eat McDonald's hamburger, you need health insurance. If you're going to drink to excess and smoke, you need health insurance. There are just some things in life that that's the way life is. Sickness and disease comes upon those that bring it upon themselves. Now, that's one of the points that Green is pointing out here, is that, you know, if you got bad health, you caused it. Last program I said, my wife has cancer. She caused that. She did it to herself. And I had heart disease, and I caused that myself. I did it. Now, I was encouraged by my parents to create heart disease because of the way it was the lifestyle. It's the way we ate. When you grow up, you eat the way your parents put the food on the table, the way your parents ate. So if you are a junk food junkie, it's because you learned that behavior. It's learned behavior. And if you can learn to be a junk food junkie, you can learn to be a health food junkie. It's just a matter of education. And it's a matter of willpower. If you can do one, you can do the other. It's these panaceas that are killers. And if you think Hillary Clinton with national health care insurance is going to solve your health problems, you know, I think you're whistling Dixie through a straw hat there, partner. And I wouldn't tell you not to do it, but, you know, I haven't seen it happen yet. Now, this week I have spent a lot of time here telling you, here's what these problems are. And last time I said, now we got to have solutions. See, us bottom feeders down here, we don't have millions of dollars to buy the votes, to buy what we need, buy what we want. If you're like I am, you know, and you don't have health care insurance, it may be because you can't afford health care insurance. You'd buy it if you had the money, but you don't. So that's why you don't buy it. But you people aren't choosing between eating and health food, health care. If you have to make a choice, you're going to choose that which feels real good. So if you have to choose between, you know, eating honey or buying gasoline for your car, you will buy gasoline for your car and you'll eat CNH, pure cane sugar. You are not going to spend the money that you need to spend on the kinds of foods that you know you need to eat if you have to choose between cigarettes, booze, and gas. Hell, that's already a given. If you're addicted to cigarettes and booze, by God, that's what you're going to buy. And food be damned. And that's just the way life is. Now, I understand that. And that's why I'm not on any kind of a crusade. Hell, I don't care whether you spend your money on booze and gas or broads down at Flo's. It's no skin off my back. But, you know, once you have informed consent, this is a legal term, informed consent, that is, you know the answer to the riddle, and then you go ahead and you make that choice, well then, you know, the monkey's on your back. The monkey is on your back. Now, we teach a class here that we're kind of proud of, and we deal with this thing called subsistence and survival. Survival. Subsistence and survival. It has to do with the Great Tribulation. It has to do with the Great Depression coming down upon us. But it also delves into health, because without good health, you cannot survive. And many times when people come into class, I just look at them and I say, son, you're dead. Dead on arrival. In fact, if you want, I'll give your money back. You can go back home. You don't need to be in this class. I didn't know what you looked like when you know, before you walked in the door. I got a young woman that's working here now. She's overweight by about double. I haven't talked to her about this yet, but if we got down to where push came to shove, she didn't go through subsistence and survival, but if she did, I'd say, you know, you're dead. Dead on arrival. And that's because she's obese. A bright young woman, and nice personality. I mean, everything about her is good, but she does not have what it's going to take to survive the Great Tribulation and the Great Famines that are coming upon us. And that's because of her food habits, her eating habits are such that she's going to kill herself. First of all, her eating habits are going to give her diabetes, and without refrigeration, you got no insulin. You're not going to be able to get the insulin even if you got the refrigeration. So all of you diabetics out there, you're just dead. Dead. Dead on arrival. If you have diabetes, put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. It's all over for you. Now, fortunately, there's a solution to your problem. You can cure that diabetes. Diabetes has cure. And it's a lifestyle change. You got to quit eating the crap that you've been eating. You got to get off the insulin. You got to get back to reality. You're living in a fairy tale land. Insulation is fairyland. That's not where reality is located. If you think you're going to manage your body's insulin over there by by sticking needles in your fingers and drawing blood, you know, come on, time to wake up. So I just tell you right now, you know, if you've got cancer, that's curable. But if you've got bad eating habits, you're going to come down with cancer. And to survive the Great Tribulation, you've got 3.5 years of rationing, 3.5 years of starvation, 3.5 years of privation coming up. I had a guy the other day, we were chit-chatting a little bit, building this storm shelter out here. And the guy that's doing the jackhammer work out there, he said he couldn't handle that. He said he might as well just pack it in and die. He will. He's not a survivor. He's not going to survive. He's overweight, number one, by about double. And he can't make the lifestyle change that has to be made in order to survive. So I don't want to take your money for no good purpose, you know. If you're fat, that's not a problem. Fat isn't a problem. But your diet is. That's why you're fat. If you're on aspartame, the reason you're fat is because of the aspartame. Diet. So the aspartame didn't cause you to get fat. You took the aspartame because you were fat. It was your diet that made you fat. The aspartame isn't the solution. Diet is. So it isn't your carbohydrates that's causing your problem over here, boys and girls. It's your fat intake from McDonald's. So you got to have a balanced diet. And, you know, most of you don't know how to eat. Hell, most of you don't know how to cook. I got a daughter like that. She eats out every meal. That's what she reported to me. They don't cook, she and her husband. They make a lot of money. They don't need to cook. Hell, I make a lot of money, and we cook here. My wife is a good cook, and we're very careful about what we eat. And, hell, I may die from cancer too, you know. But I hope to die from cancer after I'm 70. Now, once I get to be 70, now, listen up here. If you're an old person and you're over 70 years old, you've gotten your contracted amount of time. That's 70 years. And I'm sorry if you think that you're entitled to 90 years or 140 years or some other number out there. You're entitled to 70 by law under the terms of the contract. The creator of the universe gave all of us 70 years. He said, here's the contract. I'm going to give you the 70 years. Not all of us collect the 70. You're entitled to it. God guarantees you 70 years. Absolutely guarantee. You practice my law, I'll give you 70 years. You give me the finger, and you ain't going to live to be 70. Now, that's a guarantee. If you happen to be 80 or 85 or 90, God love you. You know, God told you, said, oh, I'll give you 70 and 80 if you're strong. Now, this guy Green is strong. He's lived to be 80. God, I hope I'm that strong, Mr. Green, that I can live to be 80. That'd be another 10, 11 years for me. No guarantees after next year. That's, you know, the end of the line for me. Now, I might live to be 80 or 85 if I eat right. You know, keep my nose clean. Practice the Ten Commandments. Practice the health laws. And you can do the same thing. Now, Green comes up with a neat point, and he got it, I think, from Lorraine Day. She said there's no incurable illness. Let me repeat that, too. This is Dr. Lorraine Day. Now, listen, you junkies, you can believe this lady. She is a medical doctor, an MD. She's okay. You can live. She's not a quack. All right. She says there are no incurable diseases. That's an MD said that. It's an enlightened MD. It's a repentant MD. It's an MD now that has changed her lifestyle. She's a vegetarian. And she was on Art Bell one night, and she chit-chat, and she says, Art, you're going to die. You're a meat eater. And she's right. Art Bell, you're going to die, but I'm not sure you're going to die because you're eating meat. You're going to die, Art, because you're eating the wrong kind of meat. And if you're eating hamburger out of our meat markets, it's 30% fat. Boys and girls, the scripture tells you shall eat no manner of fat. That's your creator. Don't eat fat. He didn't tell you not to eat meat. He said, don't eat fat. He didn't tell you not to eat fat meat. He said, cut the fat off the meat. Eat the lean. Now, your politicians and your medical doctors and all of your pundits out here and your politicos, they're telling you, no, you need health care insurance. Okay, they're not lying to you. If you're going to eat Big Macs, by God, you need health care insurance. I wouldn't deny it. But you don't need bad health and you don't need fat in your hamburger. You can eat meat, and you can eat lean meat, and you can eat plenty of it. But hey, listen, you know, you can OD on that meat. I have. I'm a meat eater. And especially when I kill a cow here, I'll go out and I'll kill an animal. And then here I am, you know, with 400 or 500 pounds of meat just hanging up out here on the porch. And so I go out there and I cut off a steak and I take it in, fry it up. My God, that's good. Then I go out and eat another one. And you know, unless you can control your meat eating, I'd recommend vegetarianism to you. I mean, you know, it's kind of like smoking or drinking or anything else. I mean, hell, if you can't handle it, if you're an addict, you know, maybe you better leave it alone. Now, so far, I'm pretty well able. Now, if I get joint pain, I say, uh-oh, too much meat, too much protein. So I cut back on that meat. I can control it like that. And if I can, so can you. And this guy Green, I was pleased to see this guy Green. He's a meat eater. I don't know if he eats unclean meat. Maybe he does. But hell, you know, even if you're eating pig, if you don't eat very much of it, you can probably get away with that. And I wouldn't recommend it, but then, you know, you might be able to get away with it. Kind of like cigarettes, you know, if you just ate one ham sandwich a month, you know, maybe that might not kill you. So, I wouldn't, again, I know I don't recommend that, but then that's your choice in life, that's for you to choose. There's 19 health laws in the Bible. I would like to suggest that you think about this lifestyle change, and in the process go to the Ten Commandments. Because as a lifestyle change, it doesn't require vegetarianism. In fact, it tells you that vegetarianism, which is what Dr. Day has gone into, is a doctrine of devils, doctrine of demons. And so, God tells you, no, eat meat, Bob. But, you know, my God, eat it in moderation. And eat clean meat. And don't eat fat. That's all the Bible tells you. Can you do that? I mean, you don't have to give up meat. Does that mollify you a little bit, you know? But you have to give up fat. You can't eat any fat, any animal fat. You can drink milk. You can eat butterfat. That's okay. But it's the fat, you know, that's on the meat. You got to cut that stuff out. Now, there's a little bit that you do need, and you'll get all you need from the lean meat that you're eating, and that's all you need. Now, if you just have to go out and indulge once in a while and have a Big Mac, well, try it once a month, 12 a year. If you just absolutely cannot give up McDonald's and you got to have a fat burger, just like, you know, I got to have a Hershey bar, why don't you do that once a month, whether you need it or not? Why don't you try a Heineken beer once a month, whether you need it or not? Why don't you try just smoking one cigarette once a month and see if, you know, maybe even some white sugar. I mean, you know, shucks, if you just have to have some CNH pure cane white sugar, why don't you just try a little bit? See if you can't moderate that a little bit. You know, your health is going to improve. Can't get worse. It's got to get better. Maybe it's not a purist point of view. I'm sure that a lot of people say, oh my God, if meat touches your lips, you're going right straight to hell. I kind of doubt that, but then, you know. Now, God comes along and he says there's some critters out there that are really bad for you. You know, like shrimp, that's really bad for you. And skinfish, they're really bad for you. That's catfish, shrimp, clams, oysters. All the shellfish, they're all bad for you. Now, that's lifestyle change. You don't have to give up seafood. I mean, you can eat salmon, you eat halibut. There's all kinds of fish out there that have fins and scales. And so God comes along, he says, listen, you know, eat up and have a good time. Eat fish. Eat the ones with fins and scales. And you know, that's what Green pointed out in here. He says, you know that DHA that all of you mothers need in your breast milk for your babies so that you can improve their IQ by 10 points? Eat fish. It's good for you. But girls, don't eat shrimp, clams, lobster, crab, abalone. Eat fish that have fins and scales. Everything else that's in the water isn't fit to eat. And shucks, you know, if you fall off the wagon, you have a lobster once in a while, try it once a month. Hell, probably you could get away with that. At least for openers. I remember a guy came in here one time in class, and he said, do I have to give up the whorehouse cold turkey? I thought that was kind of funny. He said, you know, I go down to the whorehouse about once a week, four times a month. He said, if I was to taper off and go down twice a month, how would that be? He said, then after maybe a few months of that, I'll go down just once a month. In other words, I'll just kind of taper off and I'll quit it kind of slow and easy. It kind of reminds me of quitting smoking. You know, when I quit smoking, I just quit cold turkey. I just threw them out and that was it. Most people, they got to have the patch or Nicoderm, or they got to have a cigarette, you know, once or five. No, I'll cut down to half a pack a day. Then I'll cut down to five cigarettes a day and so on. Boys and girls, if you can't handle smoking as it is, how in the hell are you going to handle five cigarettes a day? Now, my experience was I couldn't handle it. Now, it is without a doubt a step in the right direction. In other words, picture this. Maybe you're working for Murder Incorporated, and I come along and I say, there's a law that says you shall do no murder. It's one of the Ten Commandments, stop murdering people. And you say, well, gee, you know, I work for Murder Incorporated. It's the way I make my living, and you know, I only kill one person a week for a month. 48 a year. And the reason I kill one person a week is because, you know, I've got to pay the rent somehow. And so, as a result of that, how about if I just cut back? And instead of killing one a week, I'll just kill two a month. And then after I get into my new occupation, maybe I can just kill one a month. And then maybe only two or three a year, and then I'll just stop altogether and I'll make the conversion. I got to tell you that it makes a lot of sense. Even God himself, I'm sure, would sit back and muse over that and say, you know, he's got some good thinking going on there. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's dead wrong. I'm not recommending that. Boys and girls, if you kill one person, the penalty is death. That's the bad news. Now, the bright side of it is, if you kill 10, you know, the penalty is the same. Adolf Hitler isn't going to get any more penalty for killing millions than you and I would get if we just killed one. All of us are going to die for it. So, the guy that's been working for Murder Incorporated, he needs to repent, no doubt about it. He should probably quit killing people. And it's a step in the right direction to stop killing one a week and to start killing two a month. I don't deny that. Whether that's enough or not, I can't tell you. I don't know. Hell, I'm not the judge. Makes sense to me, but I'm not sure that the Creator is going to buy into that. Now, the same thing goes here, you know, when we're talking about food. You know, I'm eating lobster, so what if I cut down on lobster? It violates Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, but hey, kids, it's a step in the right direction. Why don't you give it a shot and see what happens? You come up in the judgment, tell the boss that. Walk into the judgment and say, listen, I was eating a lot of pig. I was eating a Big Mac every day, and I cut it down to one a week. I don't know if that's going to kill you or cure you. The law says eat no manner of fat. That hamburger has 30% fat in it. I wouldn't eat it. So I'm off Big Macs. The only thing that Big Mac had going for him was hot coffee, and now they can't even give you hot coffee. Not that the coffee was good for you to start with, but at least it was hot. And then some woman sued him, collected $3 million, and now they got cold coffee and fat hamburger. What in the hell kind of a diet is that? Cold coffee and a fat hamburger. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart, and let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 112 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. And that can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like to order one, just call the Law School and ask for it. It's all required. Just call me or send me an email. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements are recommendations that we give. Do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law School, the Law Hour, the Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us and ask. We'll tell you. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Okay, we are reviewing a book here called The Secret Guide to Health. The Secret Guide to Health is written by Wayne Green. Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire. Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. That number again, that zip code is 03449. His phone number is 603-588-0107. That's 603-588-0107. Common Sense Book. In fact, he says, write, fax, call, or visit your governor, senators, and congressmen. He wants you to get off your dead-you-know-what and do something constructive and vote, do something, write letters. I've got a little different plan than that, and that's what I'm suggesting here. I'm suggesting that you change from your practicing communism to practicing the Ten Commandments. It's a lifestyle change, without a doubt, but it's a lifestyle change that you can probably live with. It offers 33 articulable benefits, like rain in due season and multiply gold, silver, flocks, herds, you know, wealth. Things, you know, that get right down to making the mortgage payment and living life to the full. Now, it is true, it's a lifestyle. It's the way you live. Communists have a lifestyle. Hillary Clinton is a communist. Barack Obama is a communist. John McCain is a communist. Ted Kennedy is a communist. They all practice communism, and they all advocate communism. They have turned our government into a communist institution, and our communist institution is advising us to practice communism. Healthcare is a communist ideology. Healthcare insurance is a communist ideology. My contention is that communism has not worked well. It has not produced wealth and power and prestige and good times and plenty to eat. It has produced famine, war, bloodshed, pain, suffering, anguish, poverty. My suggestion is, why don't we think about quitting that? If something is giving you a bad result, why don't you quit doing that? Banging your head on the wall hurts like hell. Quit doing that. You know, just common sense things. Now, let me come up with a couple of common sense items over here. The AMA versus Semmelweis on page 197. Listen to this story. Remember this guy named Semmelweis? I did a report here one time on him. He was the guy that discovered that if you wash your hands, you will transmit less disease. Well, this guy's name is Semmelweis. And on page 197, let's see if I can find it here. Page 197. He's got a little story over here, and I thought it was pretty good. If I can find the page, I'm challenged here. Just be patient with me. Page 197. God, I'm getting to 200. I'm getting closer. Let's see. That's 198. One more page. One more. Just hang on. He calls it Shades of Semmelweis. I'm talking about healthcare here. Semmelweis, he's the doctor who tried to get physicians to wash their hands before delivering babies in hospitals. Doctors, of course, were outraged. His license was taken away and he was fired. For years after that, any doctor caught washing his hands stood to lose his license. The result was that doctor-assisted births resulted in about 30% fatalities, while midwife births had almost no losses. In America, the AMA followed suit by threatening to remove the license of any doctor caught washing his hands, since they couldn't see germs. The belief in them was crazy. If you believe in germs, you're crazy because you can't see them. Superstition, it was almost 50 years and millions of unnecessary deaths later before the doctors were able to wash their hands in public before they made an operation. Now, 48, of course, that's all behind the medical industry these days. Research shows that 48% of physicians now wash their hands between patients. It's about 60% in the best of hospitals, according to a Forbes article. This has resulted in 2 million Americans a year getting an infection in a hospital, with an estimated 90,000 of them dying, almost double what we lost in 4 years in Vietnam. Since hospitals are well known for covering up anything that might reflect poorly on them or their staff, or trigger malpractice suits, including falsifying death certificates, getting true figures is now impossible. The situation is obviously a lot worse than we know. By the time we add the deaths from hospital-caused infection to wrongly prescribed medications or pharmacy errors, you'll be lucky to get out alive. Maybe it's time to change your lifestyle so you won't have to buy a ticket in that lose-lose lottery. On the positive side for the hospital, a bloodstream infection can easily add $30,000 to your bill. A bloodstream infection can add $30,000 to the bill. Caught it that special. Now, the reason I bring this up is because this guy Semmelweis discovered he was a medical doctor, the real thing, just like Coke. It's the real thing, and he's working in a hospital, and he's making observations, and he says, "Gosh." When a woman comes in, a midwife, and helps a woman have a baby, they have practically no deaths. You know, some die. It's life. You know, you have babies, ladies. Some of your babies die. Some of you ladies die. It's life. It's the way it is. But he said the death rate among doctors is 30%. That is, one baby out of every three dies. So he started asking himself, well, why? What's the reason? So he's observing the midwives, and they're washing their hands. And he's observing the doctors, and they don't wash their hands. They go do an autopsy on a dead body that's maybe got some contagious disease. Then the doctor leaves the corpse, the autopsy, and goes in and delivers a baby, and then goes back and does another corpse or does some other things. So he goes in. Maybe some guy's got cholera. And he goes in and he's working with this guy with cholera. And then he comes and delivers a baby, and he notices that about one out of three dies from this. It's well known now that dirt, filth, microbes are transmitted on your hands. When you cough and when you sneeze. I mean, didn't they teach you that in school when you went to school? Did you understand that? All right. So the Semmelweis guys, you know, he goes out and he says, hey, we got to wash our hands. So they stripped him of his license and fired him. Now, years later, they followed that advice, and now surgeons, when they go to wash, they have a ritual. It's like watching the priest, you know, baptize a baby. They go through this ritual of washing their hands. It's a religious practice. That's what it is. But these same doctors in the hospital, when they're in here visiting a patient that's got cholera, they come out and they go visit you, and they don't wash their hands. Now, what does it take to wash your hands with a little of that hand cleaner, huh? I mean, it isn't like you got to go spend half an hour washing. I mean, just take the hand cleaner when you walk out of this room and wash your hands. Well, 48% do and 52% don't. And that's after 150 years of experience. I mean, hell, we already know that. Even us lay people know that. So, again, if you don't know what the problem is, you know, you don't have a solution. You can't solve a problem that you don't know about. So, number one, we got to find out, well, what in the hell is the problem? Well, the problem is the hospital. You know, the last place you want to go is to the hospital. It's expensive, number one. Now, Hillary Clinton's trying to sell you health care insurance. Excuse me, I don't want health care insurance. I don't want to go to the hospital. If I could stay out of the hospital, I don't need health care insurance. And I figured out a way to stay out of the hospital. It's the 19 health laws of the Bible. Now, that's a hell of a burden to place on you people, and understand it. So here's what I tell my students. We have 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the Scripture. Some of them are repeated more than once. So that if you can get that one down pat, you know, you can get 2, 3, 5, or 9 statutes out of the way all at the same time. All right, let me show you how this works. I tell my students, let's take one law at a time. Just one law a week. There's 133 laws in the Bible. 133. If you could just do one a week in 3 years' time, you could master the entire 759 statutes and 133 laws. Just one a week. And I think you could probably do that. Don't try to take the whole thing on all at the same time. Don't try a lifestyle change that requires all of these changes all at the same time. You probably won't be able to handle that. But any of us can do one a week. One a week. If you could quit smoking for 3 days, you can quit smoking forever. And that's because at the end of 3 days, you'll have most of the nicotine out of your system. In addition to that, you will have demonstrated to yourself a willpower, a capacity to do it for 3 days. Now, for 3 days, that's hell. I don't deny it. It was hell for me for 3 days. But I made up my mind I was going to do it. Now, my partner, Leo, God love him, he was a smoker and I was a smoker and we got along well. Yeah, he's a great guy. I love him. He's just fine. Nice guy. But Leo was a smoker, and so when I announced to him that I was going to quit smoking, it was offensive to him. And so while we were in the barn milking, he would offer me a cigar. He would offer me a cigarette. He would blow smoke in my face. And that's because if I could quit smoking, it would show up his character weakness. He couldn't do it. Well, okay, that's the way life is. You know, some people are stronger than others. Some people can do it, some people can't. If you can't quit smoking, that's a bummer. But maybe you could quit eating pork. Maybe you could quit eating fat. You see, you don't just have one debilitating problem. You've got 10 or 15. And that's what's killing you. That's what's giving you diabetes. That's what's making you fat. Hell, it's not just eating Hershey bars. I mean, if all you were doing is eating Hershey bars, you know, three a day, hell, that wouldn't be a problem. If all you were doing is smoking a pack of weeds a day, that you could probably survive that. But you combine those 12 Hershey bars with a pack of weeds, you know, with a little cocaine on the weekends, you know, and with a little of Flo's Whorehouse, you know, on Saturday or Friday night, you know, pretty soon you're abusing your body to such a degree that your body, your immune system can't handle it. Now, you need to change, you know, 20, 25 things. You know, like Murder Incorporated, I mean, hell, you know, if you could change 19 out of 25, you might be able to survive this. You know, 19 out of 25 isn't too shabby. I mean, it might not save you. You might die anyway, but, you know, you give yourself a better shot at it. Now, I got a guy, a supplier here, hell of a nice guy. He's got an aneurysm. An aneurysm is caused by copper deficiency. And the guy could solve it. He knows it's a copper deficiency. And I think he's taking copper supplements. But you see, at the same time, he's eating Coney dogs and McDonald's and French fries. And boys and girls, let's face reality. If you've got a woman in a whorehouse and she's got syphilis, then you go in and you have sex with this whore, and she's got syphilis and she gives it to you, and you go to the doctor and he gives you penicillin and he cures you of your syphilis, and you keep going back to the same whore, you're going to keep getting reinfected. How many times can you do that? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this, that every time you get reinfected, you impair your immune system one more notch, one more notch, one more notch. If you got over syphilis once, you know, God love you, you know, you got away with it, you know. Twice, five times, ten, you know, if you just keep going back and doing that, you know, you haven't got any brains. You probably need killing. So, you know, there's probably not much hope for you. But, you know, if you can learn your lesson, you know, you go to an old Flo's girl Donna's got syphilis, you know, say, hey, I got a dose of clap, you know, from Donna last week. Don't you think I'd ever go down and get checked? And then you say, you know, maybe I ought to wake up. Maybe my old lady ain't near as bad as I thought she was. I mean, you know, your wife might be ugly, but syphilis, if you've ever seen somebody with syphilis and you saw a guy with no nose, well, let me tell you, you might have an ugly wife, Bob, but if you don't have a nose, you're not going to be much better looking than your ugly wife. And I knew a woman one time that didn't have a nose, and I didn't know what happened to her. She got syphilis, and her nose rotted off. Al Capone died at age 48 from syphilis. And no doubt he had some penicillin. The penicillin didn't work forever, you know. It probably worked the first two or three times, but Al kept going back to Flo's place. He couldn't learn. So that's what happens to you. Now, my suggestion is not only that we practice the Ten Commandments, all of them. I mean, you know, nine's better than eight. Eight's better than seven. Five's better than four. But, you know, the requirement is that we quit murdering people altogether. The requirement is we practice all ten. The requirement is we practice all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. So I'm not your judge. I'm not going to be the guy that says, ah, well, here's your penalty or here's your reward. I'm just a reporter reporting that, you know, common sense ought to come into play, and I'll tell you something. No fat's better than a little bit. The scripture says no fat at all. McDonald says 30% fat's good for you. It's been established in your law. So your legislature, they go along with McDonald's. Everybody is in agreement. God doesn't know what he's talking about. My suggestion is, why don't we think about it? Why don't we go back? Why don't we try that? Let's see if we can get off McDonald's. One step at a time. One law a week. Don't try to do all 133 tomorrow. Tain't going to happen. No, Bob, tain't going to happen. You're not going to practice all of it tomorrow. But let me tell you, I've been at this now for about 30 years, 25 anyway. And I can practice all 10 commandments. I haven't been in a whorehouse for so long, I'm not sure I could find one. I don't eat unclean meat at all. I mean, I might go into a restaurant and maybe they've got bacon in the string beans and I missed it. But, you know, I ask, have you got any pig in that string beans? And I'm pretty careful about that. So you can just about bet that for the little bit of pig that I'm consuming accidentally, I can probably survive that. But I'm pretty conscientious. I go out of my way to avoid eating fat. I don't eat hamburger. And you know, for what little bit of fat that I get from whatever hamburger source that I get or whatever, I can probably survive that. A little secondhand smoke, I can probably survive a little secondhand smoke. I quit smoking. So, you know, you just take it a step at a time, and my experience has been you'll get pretty good results. And the preacher says, you've sinned, brother. You're going to hell. Well, he's probably right. But there ain't no sense going there any sooner than necessary. Man, I'm probably going to hell all right, but I don't need to hurry the process. And I'd suggest that you probably don't need to hurry the process either. And this guy Green, I think, has got a hell of a good common sense approach to this. And that's why I recommended his book. I read it. I said, it's a dynamite book. Remember, The Secret Guide to Health is what the name of the book is. The Secret Guide to Health. The guy's name's Wayne Green, if you can remember that. I'm not sure you can get this thing at Barnes & Noble. That's why I've been giving you his phone number. There's no ISBN number in here. There's no. He's got copyright up here at the front. He wants to copyright his work. I don't blame him. Copyright 2003 by Wayne Green. All rights reserved. Well, okay, Wayne, but you didn't tell us where we can buy your book. So I presume that you wanted us to call you or write to you. So the guy's phone number is 603-588-0107. Wayne Green, 603 588-0107. Now, his box number, it's, I'm going to write to him, it's Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. Now, he's got a section here on his last page that says solutions. I'm not even going to read to you. I don't think Wayne Green's solutions are worth a pot or take a blow him to hell. You're going to write a letter to Ted Kennedy? Huh? You're going to write a letter to George Bush? You're going to write letters and tell these people, you know, hey, clean up your act and clean up the FDA and so on? Hell, that isn't going to happen. These guys are all on the take. I don't think that you can write a letter to a hitman at Murder Incorporated and say, sir, don't you know that murdering people is naughty? Don't you watch Mr. Rogers? Murdering people, that's very naughty. You shouldn't do that, you bad man. I mean, come on. We're all adults. Let's grow up and get real. That isn't going to happen. But there's a modality over here called the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's what these guys in Congress are advocating. All of them practice public school. They're all advocating public school and no child left behind. They're not telling you take your kid out of public school and educate him at home like God told you to do. They're not telling you take your kid out of that rotten environment. They're all saying, no, leave him in that rotten environment. It's good for him. He'll prosper. He'll turn into a drug addict that way. A cash cow. Leave him right where he's at so we can educate him to be a cash cow for the medical industry. Okay, well, you know, I'm past that now, and I'm sitting here telling you, I don't think that worked for us in the past. I don't think it's going to work for us in the future. Now, this guy Green has diet causes Alzheimer's disease and skin cancers are diet caused. He's right. We eat unclean foods. We eat bad food. Lorraine Day says stop eating meat. All meat. God never told you that you had to give up all meat. He said give up on the unclean meat. God told you, I've got these laws over here. You practice these laws over here. This is the alternative to the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. And there's 133 of them. If you do one of those a week, and from experience, you know, you're already in compliance with 25% of them. It's the 75% of the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law that you're in conflict with, that you're in violation of, that's causing you your problems. And as soon as you correct those laws, those violations of laws, all of your problems are going to disappear. I mean, that's just the life's paradigm. If you practice the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, put your head between your knees and kiss her goodbye, you're going to continue having the problems. Take on the Ten Commandments paradigm. It's a business model. And then your problems disappear. Well, I'm out of time again, kids. I've got to leave it right there and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide around the Internet, 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian, non-commercial law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.